So the people who were close to Jesus heard him talking about lots of different things. He was a teacher, and he touched on every subject, didn't he? But according to the records we have, there's only one subject that the disciples came asking him to teach them. Just one thing. They came one day and they said, "Lord, teach us how to pray." Now, why do you think that's the only request for teaching that they made to Jesus? Could it be that they suspected that prayer was the central secret to Jesus' entire ministry in life? Could it be that they were watching him and they saw that he spent a great deal of time in prayer? I also wonder if their only request was, "Lord, teach us how to pray," because, well, that happens to be our most urgent question as well. I think it's our most urgent question, don't you? I think it's this kind of problem that we struggle with in our daily devotional time. Think of it this way. Why were you made? Well, you were made so that you could be fully alive with God. Fully alive with God. God made you so that you could be in relationship with him. Isn't that beautiful? And God wants to take your life and use it in ways that will transform the world that you live in and the people that you connect with. I think that's amazing. That God wants to use you. And it's more amazing that God wants to use me, because I look at my life and I think, "Are you sure, God, you want to use me?" This is just a truth that God calls all people, because God called me to be a pastor. I told my teachers that. One of my fourth grade teachers met me in the grocery store and she said, "What are you doing now?" And I said, "I'm a pastor." And she about fell over. "I had, are you okay?" I'm just shocked. God would call you into ministry. Yeah, me too. I was a little surprised myself. God wants to use you too. To care for and to minister to the people that you're in contact with, to make a difference in the world that you live in. And prayer is the way that we discover what really matters to God and how we can live fully into being the person that God wants us to be. Prayer is taking your place. Prayer is finding your life with God and understanding the direction that God has for you. I think we want to know how to pray. It's the heart of Christian living. In prayer, real prayer, we begin to think God's thoughts after him. You see, to desire what he desires, to love the things that he loves. Do you see what I'm talking about? We come to become so close to God that we want what God wants. We desire what God wants. We love the people that God loves. We progressively are taught to see things from God's point of view. And that's a whole different point of view than the way that we look at things, isn't it? And all who've walked with God have viewed prayer as the main business of their lives. Really have. Mark says, "In the morning, a great while before day, he rose and went out to a lonely place, and there he prayed." Stands as a commentary on the life of Jesus. But I've got to ask you,
How's your prayer life?
Is there any of us who don't find it a little difficult to pray? Is it because prayer is worthless? I don't think so. I think what's happened is we haven't really found a way of praying yet that fits who we are. And until you do, you're not going to spend that time praying as you ought to or want to. If you're not praying much, or if the prayers that you're praying seem kind of weak and maybe fruitless, my question is, do you want to stay stuck where you are, or would you like to grow? I mean, really, the choice is up to you. Now, some people tell me, I just don't pray. Do you want to stay there? Or would you like to pray? I can help you. This is one where you can take notes. This is the sermon where I'm going to give you point by point by point by point, okay? Are you ready? So get out a pen, take some notes, point one, point two, point three, point four. I'm going to give you some real direction on how you can get to that place where you can develop the kind of prayer life that you want to live, all right? I think some of the reasons we don't pray is because of these misconceptions. So number one, the number one misconception is that prayer mainly involves asking things from God. That's the number one misconception. That prayer mainly means asking things from God. Answers to prayer are wonderful, but they're only secondary to the main function of prayer, which is this. Prayer is growing in communion with God. Prayer is developing the relationship where you start thinking the things that God wants you to think. And so you start living the way God wants you to live. You start doing the things God wants you to do. And when you sink down into the light of Christ, you become comfortable in this posture. You can use hymns. One of the beautiful hymns is, He walks with me and He talks with me, right? Is this not a beautiful hymn that you sing and you know? And so think of it in those kinds of terms. He walks with me. When you're walking, who's with you? He walks with... The answer is always Jesus or God. I got to tell you, it's really not too complicated. But the answer is always Jesus or God, okay? So who's walking with you? When you're walking, who's walking with you? Yeah, he walks according to this wonderful Irishman. He walks before me, beside me, behind me, and within me. You know who said that? Who said that? That's St. Patrick, right? Yeah, you did the prayer. And so this is, He walks with me. He's with you all the time. When you're walking, He's beside you. When you're listening, who's speaking? God. Yeah, and God's always talking to you. Folks, you can do more than one thing at once. I know for you men, this is hard. You really think, I can only do one thing at a time. I can't do two things. That's called multitasking, right, ladies? Where you can do multiple things. How are your husbands? How do they do it multitasking? Anybody have a good husband that's a great multitasker? Yeah, no, not so much. This means yes, this means no. They kind of focus in on one thing and that's all they got. Well, I was like that too. But I got to tell you, the scripture says you pray without ceasing. And I've had people tell me, you can't pray without ceasing. And I say, oh yeah, you can. Because you know what I'm doing while I'm preaching? I'm praying. You know what I'm doing when I'm visiting you in the hospital? You know what I'm doing when I'm talking to you while you're in the bed in the hospital? You know what I'm doing? I'm praying. You know what I'm praying? I'm praying, God, help me to have the right words to say, to offer, to share. Help me to give comfort in ways that only you can give comfort. You know what I'm doing? I'm there with you, but I'm also talking to God. You see, I'm always talking to God because God's always talking to me. Always. Always. If you're listening, God is speaking. When you find yourself in that difficult situation with that difficult person and you're wondering what to do, yeah, you just talk to God. Always talk to God. Always talk to God. Because there's one beautiful thing about God. God is not like us. God doesn't just show up and then disappear. God is not like us. God's there all the time. Now, for some of you, that's really scary. And for some of you, that gives you great comfort to know that God is there with you all the time. All the time. Number two, misconception. That you view prayer as a struggle. I've had people tell me they get under the burden of prayer. That I'm like, what? Getting under the burden of prayer. In other words, things finally got so bad in my life that I had to pray. Now, really? That prayer is when, oh, I've run out of options. I don't have anything else now except I gotta pray. And usually the prayer is like this. Tell me if you've ever done this. Okay, God, I promise you, if you'll do this for me, then I'll be in church every Sunday. I promise you, God. Have you ever made these promises to God? Do you know what that's called? That's called bargaining. God, I'm going to set up a bargain with you. I'll give you this if you give me that. And you get to this place where there's this struggle. That prayer isn't something that comes naturally for you, but prayer happens only when you face the most difficult times in your life. It shouldn't be that way. Does that make sense? How many of you have a friend that come to you only when they're having problems? Anybody have a friend that comes to you when you're having problems? It's like, oh yeah, that's a really good friend, right? I mean, this is my, oh boy. Yeah, I got a call from Joe the other day, and whoa my. Not you, Joe, but you know. And not you, Joe. There's too many Joes. I got a call from Sam the other day. I don't know, you know. The friend you have that comes around only when you got a problem. They got a problem. Is that how you want to be to God? Really? You want to show up on God's doorstep when you got something going on that you can't deal with? Is that the only time you want to show up on God's doorstep? Would you like a friend like that? I think prayer is light and joyful and comforting and it's peaceful. I laugh when I pray sometimes because God tells me funny things and then I try to tell them to you. But I can't tell them as good as God. God's got a much better way of telling jokes than me. I laugh with God. God is a dear friend. God loves me more than anybody, and God knows me better than I know myself. Think about that. God knows me better than I know me. God knows me that deeply. Isn't that beautiful? Better than I know myself. So it's light, it's comfortable, it's relaxing, it's peaceful. It's a place that you desire to be in the presence of God in prayer. Be at peace, folks, when you're praying. Just be at peace in that place. third misconception, the idea that we live in a closed universe. You know, golly. I got a lot of people that everything's fixed. You know, it's all fixed. It's all set. We think since everything is set and God knows the end from the beginning, well, why pray, right? I mean, God knows everything, right? So why pray? It's a good question. It's sort of like the experience of talking with your employer about some kind of issue that you're dealing with, and she appears to listen to you, you know, and your concerns, and then you discover the decision was made long before you ever entered the room, and it really doesn't matter what you say. You've ever been in that situation, and you're like, oh, great, yeah, you asked me for my opinion, but it doesn't really matter. And so it seems like maybe that's kind of the way God's working. You want to have a conversation with me, but what I ask for, what I say, what I'm dealing with, I mean, it's already settled, right? I mean, God's already got it planned and taken care of, so what difference does it make anyway? And God really doesn't want my opinion. That's what we think. Folks, you are working with God in advancing His kingdom. You are working with God to advance God's kingdom. This is a mission post, folks. I don't know if you realize it or not, but the church and the people of the church are missionaries, and the church is a mission post, and we're advancing the kingdom of God. That's what we're about. We are partners with God. We are God's fellow workers. 1 Corinthians 3:9. Another misconception about prayer that believes our faith may crumble if our prayers don't get answered. You know, if God doesn't do what I want God to do, then I'm just going to stop believing in God. I had one person tell me, you know, if God doesn't answer this prayer, and it was in a crisis situation, you know what he told me? I'm done. I'm done with God. If God doesn't do what I want God to do, then I'm done. I am done with God. I am done. So Bob, what if I walked into my office one day and I flipped the light switch and the electricity doesn't come on and I just said, I am done with electricity. You know, I am just done with this. And I called Bob up on the phone. Bob, I'm done with electricity. I tried it. I flipped the switch and nothing came on. And so I am done. I'm finished. I'm not going to do this anymore. Bob would say, that's good because it'll save us on the electric bill and you won't ever flip the light switch anymore. If God doesn't answer this prayer, well, it's all over. And so when we pray, we have a tendency to gravitate toward this vague prayer so that no one is the wiser, and that way we can't mess God up and we can't get messed up. But it's like the electrical thing, you know, there's probably a faulty connection or maybe the light bulb is out, you know, right? Sometimes, if things don't go the way we think they ought to go, sometimes, well, it's just a faulty connection at our end. Because, folks, I've got news for you. You are a little less than the angels. And though you may ask God to do something that means a great deal to you, God is bigger and wiser than you. And there has to be a level of trust. And you've got to let God be God, and you've got to let you be you. Okay? You do not have the power to make God do what you want God to do. It doesn't work that way. And God's not some kind of machine where you put a quarter in and get a candy bar out. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. That's not ultimately what prayer is about, getting what you want. Prayer is about living your life more closely to what God desires and what God wants. And that's not always what we want. Did you ever have a parent tell you that when you said, "Well, I want this," and the parent says, "Well, you're not getting it"? Anybody ever have that parent? And then we did what? What, did you try the tantrum thing? Did anybody do the tantrum thing? Kick your feet or stop breathing or do those kinds of things? Did that ever work? Did that ever go over so well? You knew better. You knew better. Yeah, but I bet you had a little girl who might have tried something like that. You tell Lori, I said to my sister, I know she did. Yeah. You know how that works. We don't get what we want. So, do you think that's the way God works? That God just doesn't give you what you want because... God doesn't want to. Well, there has to be a level of trust. And I would also say this. About the parable of Jesus that he tells. Another misconception. I love the story. Keep asking. A lot of people think, you know, if I ask once and I don't get what God gives wants to give me, then I'll just stop. I didn't get it, so I'm not going to ask anymore. Just pray once and then, well, it's over. Love this story. Meat of the gospel. Keep knocking, keep knocking, keep knocking. In the biblical time period, I love the story because people slept on mats. And so they didn't have like houses the way we have houses. They slept on mats and there was a door that went in to a hut. It wasn't a big house. In fact, the scripture reads they had a bedroom. Normally it didn't have a bedroom. Normally it was just a hut. Okay? So you got one room and you had to use it for everything. Got it? And including sleeping. And so when the children went to sleep, do you know how the parents put the children to sleep? Well, they put the mats down on the dirt floor, right? And they slept on their mat, and the littlest child was next to the door. And then the next child, and then the next child, and then the next child. So they went away from the door backwards. And then mama, and then daddy, and they were all sleeping together in one big line from the door back to the end, right? And that's the extent of it. So imagine if in the middle of the night, somebody knocks on the door. We got a problem, don't we? For one thing, everybody is awake. It's not like you just woke up one of us. You woke up all of us. And in order to get to the door, for Dad to get there, what's got to happen? Not only are you awake, but you got to get up. Okay? So the friend comes at midnight to the house, knocks on the door, wants bread, and the man says, "Go away." Right? Wouldn't you? Yes. Go away. What are you doing? And he says, "Well, I got a friend and he showed up at midnight and I need 3 loaves of bread." Well, make your own bread, right? Go 7-Eleven, that's what Paula said. But what happens? Does he go away? No, he doesn't go away. And so eventually, yeah, I bet that was one grumpy dad. What do you think? I bet, man, when he got that bread, was he mad, right? The man giving the bread, not the one getting it. He was probably laughing. Ha, 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 I got you all up out of bed. So what's Jesus trying to say? This guy keeps on knocking, just keeps on knocking. And in his persistence, everything changes. True also for us. We keep on knocking. In our persistence, everything changes. We are to keep at this work of prayer, mainly, I think, because we're the channel through which God's life and light flows into the world. But prayer is an adventure. Nothing else is going to draw you closer to the heart of God. You keep praying, you keep praying, you keep praying, you keep praying. You keep praying. Keep on knocking on the door. The last misconception, I got to tell you folks, there's no right way to pray, okay? There's no right way to pray. You want to have an idea about it? I'll give you one. It's called ACTS. A-C-T-S. A-C-T-S. ACTS, like the book. A-C-T-S. It's based on the Lord's Prayer, and it follows this pattern. A, adoration. You adore God. You lift God up. You praise God. You give wonderful praise to this God who created you, who created the world. You look around you and you say, God, you're the creator of all things. You are worthy of praise, right? You created me. Adoration. The second is confession. You confess your sins. Sins has a capital S and a small s. I taught my Sunday school or my Bible study class this, and they got all upset with me. I'm still going to argue sins has a capital S and a small s. You know what the capital S is? That's sin. That's universal sin. That's sin with a capital S. That's sin. And then there are sins. You know what sins are? Those are your stumbles. That's your trouble. And what we tend to say is we'd like to confess sin. And we say, God, forgive me for all the sin in my life. Forgive me for all the capital sin. Right? Because that's easy, isn't it? That's easy. And then we start getting into the little less sins, and those are the things that you've done that you know God didn't want you to do. You said these things, you did these things, and you confess them specifically. Confess them. Confess them. Because you know what, folks? If you don't say it, then you're not going to change it. If you just say, God, just forgive me for all the sin, then that just makes it all the big part. But you don't speak it. You don't speak it. You're not going to change it. You're not going to do anything different. You've got to speak it and feel the conviction. And then in that feeling of conviction, you're motivated to do something different, to change your behavior. Speak differently. Act differently. Talk in ways that build people up. You've got to speak specifically. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving. You give thanks. Man, you've got stuff to give thanks for. Just look around you right here. Aren't you thankful that you've got this place where you can come and worship and grow in your faith? Aren't you thankful God put this place here? Don't you give thanks for your church, for your staff, for the people who are there, to your friends, for the folks that you have in your life that are going to help you through difficult times? Aren't you thankful for your family? Anybody here thankful for their family? I know sometimes I'm not too thankful for my family, but most of the time I'm thankful for my family. There are moments, you know, with the kids. Now, not my wife. Don't go there. You get me in trouble. Your husband said he wasn't thankful for you on Sunday morning. I'm always thankful for her. I don't deserve her. I know that much. What else are you thankful for? Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and then you get to supplication. It's a big word. Supplication. You know what it means? All the stuff I want. All the things I want for God to do. All the people that I want God to help. So you pray for others. You pray for yourself. But do you see where that comes in line? That comes in line. We start asking God for stuff after we've adored Him, after we've confessed our sinfulness, after we've offered our thanksgiving for everything that God's doing, and then we pray for the stuff that we want God to do, right? That's when the supplication comes in. But what happens so often is people reverse it. They put supplication first. You start praying for all the stuff you want, all the people you want God to help. We focus on that, and then that's it. We don't do the other parts. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving. We don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit will help you. The Spirit will intercede for you and groan with you, and you commit yourself to staying on the path. And I tell you what, you'll be met. Stay on the path. Keep at it. Be persistent. Don't give up. So you miss a day. Jesus prayed 3 times a day. Prayed in the morning, at noon, and at night. When the sun came up, at noon, and when the sun went down. 3 times. Specific times of prayer. So do set some time aside to pray. If you miss it, it's okay. Go at it again. And then throughout the day, offer your prayers. Surely you've got things that you can be thankful for that you see through the day, right? Our psalm this morning points to the value of this daily, regular, appointed time of prayer. It's good to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night. So consider a new commitment today, will you? Let this be your prayer. Lord, teach me how to pray. That's a good place to start. It's a really good place to start. I guarantee you, He longs for that relationship more than you do. He will make it happen, and He'll help you on the journey. Let's pray. God, You're always seeking communion with us. You're always moving us to offer those things that seek communion with You. We pray, God, that You would give us the time, the room, the space, the words, the silence that lets us hear Your voice. Teach us to pray so that we can learn how to live. In Jesus' name, amen.